The time, 23 minutes to 9 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, 657 AM. And one of the reasons we should be part of the body of Christ, of the bride, is that when you speak to people, you'll always meet people who are passionate about the Lord. And when you're thinking of getting all apathetic and comfort zone driven, you can't, because you're confronted with people who actually want to do the work. So someone like that is David. So this David, I would have said his surname, but I can't for reasons. You say, hello, David. How are you doing?
Hello. Good, and you?
Doing fine and fabulous. Thank you very much. We're going to start off first with you introducing yourself. He's got the most gorgeous wife, literally living on two legs. But that's not for me to say. You introduce yourself, who you are personality-wise, and just the family. Put it in perspective.
Yeah, so I must just add to that, that we have just... about 7 weeks ago, we got our first baby, and I must just say she's as beautiful as my wife.
Aww.
And I believe she's going to be as charismatic as I am. So, yeah, we're hoping for the best. But so I've got a beautiful family, and it is a blessing from the Lord.
You seem a little awake for someone who's got a baby of only 7 weeks. I mean, this is coffee speaking.
it's the grace of God, because God knows. The gospel needs to go out, no matter what.
So you are definitely an exhorter. You're someone who speaks to people. There is no such a person as a stranger. You can speak to anyone about Jesus.
Yes, because everyone needs Jesus.
Yeah, but why the passion? Did you get saved in a radical way? Or why are you so passionate?
Yes, I'm passionate because I lived a life in darkness. And when I encountered Jesus, He changed everything for me. So for me, there is no better news. There is no better person, no more beautiful person than Jesus Christ. And so for me, there is only one message on my lips, and it's the message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and what He wants to do through us.
Okay, we're going to start off with this heart you have for specifically evangelism for the lost. So when you look at someone, you meet them for the first time, it seems that it's burning on your heart to first find out whether they're saved or not.
Yes, of course, because life is short and you do not know how long you have. There are thousands of people dying every day. And you don't know when that moment will come for you. So for me, when I meet somebody, I'm not as worried about their finances or their struggles or, you know, whatever it may be. I am primarily concerned about their salvation. Do they know Christ? Have they been born again? Not just have they heard of Jesus, but have they been born again? Have they encountered God through the Holy Spirit?
But that must be hard in South Africa, because we're in South Africa. We're goodish people. We all feel that we are saved because we're Christian and we got sprinkled when we were born. And therefore, we are, doesn't matter what happens, we're going to heaven. So is it hard for you in South Africa to minister to people who actually think they might be fine?
No, because Jesus said, I came not for the righteous, but for the sinners. And so if a person thinks he's righteous, thinks that he does not need Jesus, you know, that is where I come in. I come in and I ask the right questions to the people. And so, you know, one of the main questions I would ask people if I meet them is, do you think that you are a good person? And if they say, yes, I think I'm good.
Then they're in trouble.
I've got them. I know exactly where I'm going from that point to lead them to Jesus, because everybody in the world thinks they're a good person. And Jesus himself said, no one is good but God.
Yeah.
So we are all deceived in thinking we are so good. Jesus is the standard of goodness. And if you look at Jesus, then you realize who you are. And that's where the gospel comes in that very moment when somebody realizes, I need a savior. I'm drowning in my sin. I'm drowning in my shame. I'm drowning in condemnation. I need a savior. And that is where the gospel comes in. Amen.
Okay. Do you think that we might be a little more open to hearing anything about Jesus in a atmosphere in the whole world at the moment where people are losing hope. They're feeling everything is gone, everything. My stability, my security is gone. I don't know if I've got a job tomorrow. I don't know if I'm safe anymore. And does that maybe put us enough on the back foot that we might be starting to listening to a God that we can't see?
You know, while you were speaking, it actually made me think about the Bible times. And when the gospel started to spread, it was in the time when the Roman Empire were dominating the Jewish people. Mm. It was much like we would experience today in the world. So much oppression, so much injustice. And so many people were crying out like, this is wrong. Like, we are being treated wrong. And it's in the midst of that that God brought the greatest revival the world has ever seen. And I believe the same is happening in South Africa and will happen in the nations. So yes, God is moving when times are the toughest, when we are the weakest. God wants to come and move.
When we don't have the answers, suddenly we might just be listening to someone who does have the answers. But you've got a lot of hope. Doesn't matter what we're seeing around us, you have evidence that God is moving.
I do. And I just want to say this. There are nations in this world that looks like everything is perfect. Their economy is powerful. Mm. They are
it's
very
so clean.
Yes, it's clean. And everything works. There's lights. There's electricity and there's water.
And schedules.
But behind the scenes, they are depressed. Mm. They have no purpose in life. And many people are committing suicide because they also do not have hope. So my friends, today the message to you is hope does not come from your circumstances. Hope comes from Christ and his death and his resurrection for you. That is the only source of hope we have and that we will ever have. And so that's why I believe we're here today. I'm here today to tell you that in the midst of this nation's challenges, God is moving. And I've got one question for you. Are you going to move with God and see life changed? Or are you going to be the one sitting on the sidelines?
Frontline Witness is what your ministry is called. What do you guys actually do?
So we are called to reach the lost, no matter the cost, and to equip the church for evangelism. To equip the church so they can be a living light in this dark time. Because many of us have shrinken back into our seats, into a comfortable seat in the church, and we have not been doing what we've been commissioned to do. You know, a civilian is very comfortable, but a soldier is ready for war. And so I feel like the Lord has called us to equip the body of Christ to transition from being a civilian to being a soldier, to being active in the kingdom of God, to seeing life transformed and actually opening up your mouth with boldness and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that might be in your school, it might be in your workplace, wherever it might be, you need to be equipped to do that. A soldier, what would happen if I give a soldier a gun and I send him into war without training?
He'd get himself killed.
He would get himself killed. He would endanger those with him.
Yeah.
And so that is why we need to be trained. And that is what the church is for. I mean, the Bible says that God gave gifts to the church to equip the church for the work of ministry. So, my friends, I'm sorry. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are called to be a soldier. This is not about the pastor doing everything or the evangelist doing everything. This is about the body of Christ rising up in her identity as a warrior bride, seeking to see every nation and every tribe and every tongue hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and repent and believe and be saved and transformed. That is why we exist.
Okay, so we're going to get to the training, because the reason you want to train people is you've been doing the work yourself. So just tell us a little bit about what you have been doing up until now.
Yes, so before I just share what we do, I just want to share some statistics with you, because we need to know what the problem is before we bring the solution. Amen.
Okay.
And so just in South Africa, I want you all to know that statistically, they have seen that only 17% of South African teenagers are committed Christians.
One seven.
And so this means that most of our young people who profess to be Christians, They don't have a committed relationship with Jesus. They are not submitted in a church. They barely pray, doesn't read their Bible. They are just a Christian by name. And so this is why the following statistics is shocking, and this might shock you. So 74% of these teenagers struggle with loneliness, more than 50% with anxiety, more than 50% with depression, 32% plus with suicidal thoughts, and 52% of them struggle with pornography. This is the reality on the ground. And you know what happened? We go out and we preach the gospel. We call it Youth Crusades. And this is where thousands of young people come together and we preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Clear and clean, like they've never heard it before. You know, many times you can go to a church and there might be a sermon, there might even be an altar call, but it's rare in my experience that the gospel is being preached in its fullness, where the identity of who Jesus is, his death and resurrection, and your response in repentance of sin and faith is actually preached in an entirety. And so what we do is we have been trained to do this in 15 to 20 minutes. And so these children, I've seen with my own eyes how they have repented of their sins and turned to Jesus Christ with joy and gladness. I've seen the transformation before my very eyes, how literally thousands of young people are turning to Jesus. And not just that, they are experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, without the Holy Spirit, we have no power to live this life for Jesus. So I've seen children who have shared testimonies with me that they were on the brink of suicide. But that morning that we visited that school and preached the gospel, they were saved. This one girl said, I wanted to commit suicide, but now today Jesus has saved me. I feel him in my heart. And I mean, I was amazed. It was just incredible what God has done. And so we've seen deliverances. We've seen young people being healed of certain things in their bodies. We have seen literally just how there's a desire for Jesus and to walk away from the world. And so this is not a wishy-washy message we preach. We preach repentance of sin, turning away from this world and trusting only in Jesus to save you. And so this excites me.
Can I just say, this thing of even recognizing sin has become a sin in church. We don't preach sin. We are so afraid of offending people that we don't say it. And when we don't acknowledge that, you can't get saved if you think you're fine. If you think that it's not that bad, God will be gracious. He'll be whatever. And watering it down so much that people are literally full churches of unsaved people sitting in churches because we will not tell the truth. But now you're teaching real, honest to goodness, normal people with two arms and two legs to have a heart for the lost and how to reach them.
Yes. So equipping the body of Christ is really, it's on my heart. It's actually why I believe the Lord has given me this passion, is we have to share it. And so what happened to me is I received training from Christ for All Nations, which is one of the biggest evangelistic ministries in the world. And they, just being around them, gave me such a passion and a love for the lost, because these people are preaching the gospel globally, and they are living in that evangelistic anointing, if I can say it like that. And so just rubbing shoulders with somebody that loves Jesus and loves the lost, it unlocks you. So I believe that there's a key to unlock the purposes and calling in your life that God has for you to actually make a difference. You can reach the lost. You know that. You believe that inside of you it lives a Holy Spirit that is the same Holy Spirit that was in the apostles, the same Holy Spirit that was in the first church, the same Holy Spirit that is in every evangelist and pastor out there. You have the same Holy Spirit. And don't you dare think that you're not worthy or not good enough. God chooses the weak to lead the strong.
Well, Matthew 28 wouldn't have been there if it wasn't meant for all of us. We must stop chickening out. Because, I mean, your wife is shy. And she went through this thing. I thought, if your wife can do this, because we tell ourselves, this diamond somebody groot bakke, the ones who speak easily, they're the ones who've got the boldness to just go speak to people. Yeah. I am an introvert And I don't like speaking. I don't like the attention on me. I don't like conflict.
Yeah.
That's why people don't do this. And you have to get... So you not only teach them the how to, but the heart behind it.
Amen. That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, we need to realize that we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And so the Holy Spirit is the key. When He sets you on fire, you are able to do anything for Jesus.
That's what I mean when I say on fire. This guy's on fire. I mean, oh, Nalant, you're going to sit up straight. What about discipleship? Because now these people get saved. You teach us. We lead them to, well, Jesus leads them. God the Father draws them. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the Spirit does His work. Now they're saved. We can't leave them like that.
Yes, definitely. So this is definitely our heart and focus to lead a baby Christian to lead an unbeliever to Jesus. And then just leave him there is irresponsible. We cannot do that. So our heart and we endeavor to connect as many of our churches, our partner churches that we work with, that we have a relationship with these new believers. At our crusades, we actually have a digital decision card, which is something new we are bringing in. Thank the Lord for technology.
Hallelujah.
That every... every child or every young person who believes in Jesus can actually have an opportunity to connect directly to a church. So they will scan with the QR code that will be at the Youth Crusade or at the actual school that they're at. And they will now directly be connected to the church for follow-up.
We're a credible church.
A credible church. Okay. Yes, exactly. That has been approved by us, not just any church. And then also, we give every child a discipleship booklet. So these are booklets designed by One Hope Ministry, and it is specifically designed for their age groups. Because if you give a child a big Bible, they're not going to read it. Let's be honest. I mean, their attention span is like very short.
2 minutes.
So we have especially designed these the ministry has especially designed these four age groups, and it's interactive. It's got for the primary schools, you've got actual games inside to keep them engaged and taking them from Genesis straight up to Jesus so they can get a big picture. And it's incredible, incredibly powerful. I love booklets. I love giving these seeds to children. I mean, you're leaving something with them that has been proven to change lives. And then I just want to say something, and this is to everyone out there. I don't know about you, but I was never discipled one-on-one or really, really connected in a church when I got saved. You know who discipled me? The Holy Spirit.
Mm.
So I believe with my whole heart, if the Holy Spirit fills that child, He will lead him into all truth. He will lead him into the way of life. And that would be the church. He would lead him to the church of Christ. There will be a desire for him to be with other believers. And so the church of Christ is really the vehicle God will use for the world to be changed. Amen. And so I cannot do this without the church. And you cannot do without the church. We need each other to fulfill God's calling.
Even if it's just to keep the fire burning. Amen. You've got a quote about evangelism.
Yes, so this is a quote that really shook me, because after I read this, I knew who I was called to be. And so maybe today you are listening to this and you're thinking, am I called to be an evangelist? Am I called to go out and preach the gospel? Just listen to this. And it's a quote from Reinhard Bonnke. And he says, "The evangelist is a man with a driving urgency, not a man with two minds. The gospel and nothing else on earth matters. Neither fame, money, popularity, or life itself."
That's gorgeous. I'm going to post that. You must forward this to me. I'm going to post it for you on our social media that people can see that. Okay, if people want to connect with you for training, for even just discussion, just if they've got something and they need advice, anything to do with evangelism and with the ministry as well, where do they go to? How do they connect with you?
Yes, so they can connect with me through our official email. That is office@frontlinewitness.org. So I'll just say that again. office@frontlinewitness.org, or you can send us a WhatsApp at 067-412-0019. And we hope and believe that as we partner together, you will be able to reach the lost with us, because it's possible. I've seen it happen. And if God can do it with us, He can do it with you.
What we're going to do to make life easier is we post that for you on Facebook. Right now, this interview is streaming. And on there, we have posted the website Frontline Witness, or the email address, office@frontlinewitness.org. Also, the WhatsApp number is posted, 067-412-0019. One last word. Speak to South Africa. What is on your heart? If they just got this one thing, what would you say?
That the gospel is not just for us to be saved, but the gospel is the very fabric. It's the very DNA that makes up a Christian. And so I want to encourage you today to preach the gospel to yourself daily, to enjoy the gospel, to enjoy Jesus, and to realize that today, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He lived a perfect life, He lived the life you cannot live, He died the death you should have died, and He rose from the dead, you will be saved. All you need to do is to turn away from your sins, to repent of your sin, to turn to Jesus, and believe that He saved you.